الحمد لله نحمده سبحانه وتعالى على السراء والضراء ونصبر على حكمه في الضراء والبأساء وحين البأس ونسأله العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله رحمة الله للعالمين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله We praise Allah at times of ease as well as at times of hardship and calamity. And we pledge to accept and be patient for whatever He ordains, at time of peril, at time of difficulty, and at time of hardship. We ask Him to shower His blessing and peace on the last of the prophets, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We bear witness that there is no deity save Allah. And we bear witness that Muhammad is the servant and the messenger of Allah. My dear Muslims, a question is raised. What makes us an ummah? The Quran talks about the Ummah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about the Ummah. And we talk about the Ummah. What makes an Ummah? There are six requirements to make the Ummah. Number one, a group of people who believe in the same basic articles of faith. Allah wa malaikatuhu wa kutubuhu wa rusuluhu wa al-yawm al-akhir. The group of people who believe in Allah and His angels and His scriptures and His messengers and in the Day of Judgment. Number two, that all of us consider the Kaaba is our Qibla, regardless to our mazhabs or our persuasions. And all of us consider that Quran is the final scripture sent by God. And all of us believe that this group have been commissioned to do a duty, to serve humanity through enjoining what is right, forbidding what is wrong, and believing in Allah, and that this group should have a compassion towards each member, and that this group is like one body. If one organ is ailing, the rest of the body is sleepless and is suffering. Those six things, six elements, make us an ummah. Without any of these elements, we don't become an ummah, or at least we don't become the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the ummah of Islam. And that is important because this is how we view what is happening in good part of the world of Muslims now. In Egypt, in Tunisia, in Libya, in Bahrain, Yemen, and beyond. So these are organs of the Ummah that are ailing and are suffering. And if we really an Ummah, all of us should be sleepless and pained. Otherwise, we don't belong. This is why I cannot imagine that we come to a mosque on Friday house of God and talk about anything other than that. So this is not politics. This is common sense of being the Ummah of Islam. We cannot look to the other side or push it under the rug. This is how we should see things. Our hearts were aching and are aching for what the Palestinians suffer on the hands of a brutal occupation. Our hearts have been aching for the Egyptian people and the Tunisian people who have been suffering on the hands of native dictators that are much worse than the foreign occupier. And now our heart is bleeding for the people of Iraq who are suffering on the hands of a psychopath, a mentally disturbed person, who announced it in broad daylight, Libya. Iraq took its turn during Saddam Hussein. We have recycling of Saddam now in the persona of the deformed, mentally deranged dictator who said loudly and clear, Libya should be a ball of fire. He doesn't mind burning Rome so Nero can keep fiddling on his fiddle and hold tightly to his seat of power. All these situations should make our hearts ache, and the moment we lose focus, we cease to be an Ummah of Islam. So it is not something casual or simple, or I talk about it amongst other things, but it is something very basic and very important. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us, من رأى منكم منكرا فليغيره بيده فلما استطع فبلسانه وإن استطع فبقلبه وهذا أضعف الإيمان. The hadith is famous and all of you heard before, that when you see falsehood you try to change it with your action, if you can't with your statements, if you cannot, your heart should be on the right side of the equation. Why is that? It's not just because there is nothing more we can do. No, it is to keep the flame of the struggle and the resistance always awake in the hearts of people. To keep the issue alive in the hearts of the Muslim men and women as long as they live and as long as there is an oppression, until the chance will come that we can change it with our action or we can change it with our statement. It is not that, Allah, there is nothing for me to do here in America, I cannot have an action, and when I speak nobody hears me, so I will hate it in my heart. This is not the idea. The idea is to put yourself on the right side of the struggle. So if you can't now, you might can tomorrow. If you cannot do everything, you can do something. And we are all accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about that. It is a frame of mind and of psyche that we should never lose, that we are on the side of the oppressed in Libya against the oppressor dictator. And this is the least we can do until we can do more. And inshallah, we'll be able to do more. This is important that we tell each other that, and we remind each other and bring it to our attention. Dhakr inna dhikra tanfa'u al-mu'mineen. Then comes a question, how could they do that to us? How could they? How could a gang of thugs actually enslave and exploit a great country like Egypt for about 60 years. Generations born and died under that, where they don't know any other model. How good a robber like Zine Abidin bin Ali overwhelm and oppress the great people of Tunisia. And when I say the great people, because we saw how great they are. How could he? How could a completely madman rule over the great people of Libya for 42 years? How could they? This is a question is not for us to answer now, but we have to live with it. We have to research it. What enabled them? The immediate answer is, we did. We enabled them. So none of us is innocent. When you go to sleep, look at your hands, there is Egyptian, Tunisian, and Libyan blood on our hands. Whichever way you want to turn it around. The point, can we wash it now or not? But the reality that we enabled them to do that, to do such a horrible thing. And how did we allow it to happen? Why didn't we teach in our halqas, in our mosques, in our centers, that dictatorship is haram? Did you ever hear a lesson like that? No, we don't. Because we were busy investigating a dispute happened 1400 years ago to be divided to Shia and Sunnah. How could we? How could we not tell our people that dictatorship is haram, but spend the time arguing whether democracy is compatible with Islam or not? And spend the time talking about beards as a qualifier to make you deliver a khutbah. Or to argue whether the voice of a woman is a awra or not. How could we dwindle that law to see that while the devils of oppressor of oppression is riding over us and stealing our future and our life and deforming our religion? This is another question we have to live with for years to come, and for our new generations to think about it and to be taught and to write papers and to analyze. Because when you look about it, it is mind-boggling. How come? How come that one man caused all this suffering? And why? And why did we let him get away with it? The good news is, alhamdulillah, for each dark hole, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And we find that the masses are rising up. We have to understand and to appreciate this phenomenon. It is the spirit of God, spirit of Allah, وَنَفَخْنَا فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِنَا, the spirit of God in the people that have been suppressed and covered and misled and camouflaged and shunted away, the spirit of God awakened in people. You know why that is important? Because the spirit of God can never be broken and can never be conquered. It happened, alhamdulillah. It happened by a man who was so desperate that he lit himself on fire in Tunisia, then followed by several in Egypt, then followed by the heroism and the bravery of the people of Libya who are facing that killing machine without any consideration to human decency or even human beingness, to crush people and say, I'll set the whole country on fire because I have to prevail. The logic of, هَلْ عَلِمْتُمْ لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرِي, I am your only God. How dare you say we want to be free? We need to appreciate and to understand what's happening. This is why don't let anybody say it is the revolution of the youth. It is triggered by the youth, like all history. Great movements are triggered by youth, but it is a revolution of the people. The people who have the Spirit of God in them and discovering now the meaning of La ilaha illallah. No God other than Him. And so they will not surrender their destiny and their dignity and their future to those despots and the dictators. It is a moment in history that we should capture. Because if history happens without you being aware of it, it is a sad story. It should be captured to understand its nature, to understand its chemistry, because it is our way to a life of dignity and freedom, where the road between us and our Creator will be cleared so that we can communicate directly and deserve the blessings that He gives to His subjects and to His servants. We have to capture the moment and understand what actually it means. It is not the issue of Qaddafi bin Ali or Mubarak. It is the issue of oppression, the oppressed and the oppressor. And this is where we have to stand. And I really surely hope that this thing preoccupies ourselves, and like history changes for these countries, history should be changed for our centers and for our mosques. Let us think big, think about life. Let us have the programs that produce free people, critical thinkers, who will not surrender and submit to anyone who can brainwash them or rule them or direct them or hypnotize them. We are a nation of free people who believe in La ilaha illallah. And we have to consider the past is past, but work for a future suitable for a world that we did not know before. This is a new world, not a new system of governance, not a new ruler. It is a new world where we become part of it. And here where Muslims will teach the rest of the world how Islam rekindles the flame of dignity and liberty and freedom in human beings. And this is a very privileged position for us to be. And believe you me, after all these waves of Islamophobia, which is still rampant, the Islamophobes and the drug pushers are isolated now, because they saw models of Muslims that are the bright dignity for humanity. Who could have imagined a month ago that New York Times will say we need to be like Egyptians? Who could have imagined that? Who could have imagined that people are looking at the bravery in Libya and say, if we have the same spirit, what's happening in Wisconsin would have never been happened. So we are recapturing our role to offer good model for humanity, and we ask Allah to give us victory. Ask Allah SWT. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. The question will come, of course, is what can we do? What is our role as American Muslims? Or is there a role for us as American Muslims? As we said, if we belong to an ummah, yes, there must be a role. The point is how to find it and how not to be satisfied by it, to look for a bigger role. But we have to initiate and we have to start. What can we do? Number one, as I said, put your heart in the right place and try to understand the phenomena that's happening. And try to conduct that your children and the teachers in their schools to their students. It's not that you are talking politics. You are talking life. And Islam cannot be separated from life. Teach them the meaning of what is going on now and how people can sacrifice their life for life. When life is so precious to you, it is worth sacrificing for keeping it precious and keeping it dignified. Number two, I am asking all people who are like me, are Americans, loyal to their home, America, but the roots are in that area. Teach your children the history of your roots. We should not have a memory loss or amnesia. I had a group of young Egyptians in my house during the, and I was asking them questions about the history of Egypt. In their mind, the history of Egypt is King Tut and Cleopatra. This is not the history, otherwise they don't know anything. So, and I'm sure that all of you are in the same boat. Teach your children the history of their origins. Because population with memory loss cannot find its future and cannot garner the self-confidence on who they are. Then after that, the most important, I would say, is how to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because without His help and His support, we'll get nowhere. So, forums for dua and for spirituality, like the center did last night and might do again in the future, are not without effect. Everything is in the hands of Allah. And when we sincerely ask Him to intervene, He will intervene. Ask Him for His promise. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا. Allah promised that those amongst you who really believe and do the right things, He will establish them on the land. He will establish the religion for them and He will replace their fear and anxiety with tranquility and peace. Allah promised that, so we ask Him sincerely to deliver His promise now, to be manifested, this promise to be manifested in Libya, in Tunisia, in Yemen, in Bahrain, in Palestine, everywhere there is an oppressor and an oppressed. We ask Him for that sincerely through our acts of fasting and our acts of prayer. Then after that comes the issue of raising the awareness, because there are so many fallacies circulating around. We have to communicate with your congressmen in your district and explain to them the reality of the situation, because they are misled and confused. They say, oh, but if this guy goes, the Islamists, Muslim Brotherhood will come and will be Al-Qaeda. Qaddafi himself tells the people in Libya, you want to be ruled by Bin Laden. What is this? What is this lunacy? But the American media, and they immediately pick it up. Yes, the only organized groups are the Islamic groups, and it will be bad news. Number one, it will not be bad news. Number two, there is no worse news than what you guys have in your hand. Due to your policy, you created this mess. Number three, the Islamists are far from being able to control a government or anything like that. And most of them really are not interested. Who will take over something that's so messy and so irreparable to stick the failure of others on the name of Islam? But these are boogeyman scares that they are sending. So you educate people around you. Write to the congressmen and to the State Department. It is American policy created the mess, and the American policy that is up till now hesitant in calling the spade a spade. They are hesitant in saying our policy should change to support the people, not dictators, period. No matter what the price is. Then they say, but we are worried about the oil. If you dream that you will get a drop of oil under Qaddafi, you don't listen to the news. The guy said, I'll burn it. You trust your pipelines to a man who is disqualified to control even his words. So it is a misguided policy, and we have to alert the policymakers in this country to that. We have also to support or to initiate the relief effort to get medicine and treatment and equipments to those people, المستضعفون من الرجال والنساء والولدان الذين يقولون ربنا أخرجنا من هذه البلدة الظالم أهلها واجعل لنا من لدنك وليا واجعل لنا من لدنك نصيرا. The crushed people, men, women and children who are weak and oppressed, and they pray just they can get out of this oppression, asking Allah to send for them the support that they need. We should be the support that they need. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم إني داع فأمن. O Allah, we ask you to guide us to the straight path, to enlighten our hearts and sharpen our vision, so that we can see the truth as truth and support it, and see falsehood as falsehood and fight against it. O Allah, we ask you to bestow your mercy and your acceptance on the soul of the martyrs in Tunisia, Libya, Egypt, Bahrain, and everywhere, and Yemen, and Palestine. Everywhere there is an oppressed and an oppressor. And we ask you, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to support those freedom fighters, to give them the patience and the resilience and the hope that they need to carry on. اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا واعف عنا وانصرنا اللهم نصرا عزيزا من عندك وارحم اللهم شهداءنا وادر الدائرة على الظالمين واعل اللهم بفضلك كلمة الحق والدين وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد.